Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 44. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
And in the studio with us, or the kitchen table, whatever.
Studio.
Sorry. That's right. The high quality, high dollar studio, Screen Geeks.
State of the art.
We got two guests who went to Comic-Con, since that's what we're talking about. You've heard one of them before.
This is Nate.
And?
This is Mark.
Yay.
Thanks for being here, guys.
And then Absolutely. Over Skype, joining us as he does ever so once in a while, and we appreciate it so greatly. Chris Stipp, how you doing, sir?
Doing fine.
Hey, over at Chris. Quick Stop Entertainment. How did I space that? Dear Lord. Yeah, it's
Come
been
on,
tired.
Get the plug in.
I know. I mean, you got a better excuse because you've lived at Comic-Con for a week. So.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Yeah. Well, as we do every week, we'll just start off with a couple of things we've been watching over the past week or so. So I actually want to start with Mark because he saw something that none of us dared to watch otherwise. So, what did you watch, sir?
I watched Lost Boys 2, The Tribe. It's funny. Very funny.
Is it awful?
Yes, in every sense of the word. The very beginning of the movie, like before it puts up the screen or the name.
The title?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's worth watching just that part because it's funny. And
then you just stop it.
The rest of the movie gets progressively worse. Mm-hmm. Another person gets killed by antlers in this one.
Oh wow! Just like Sal and I did one night.
And it's bad.
So are Corey back in full effect? And you wish they weren't? Or
Corey Feldman's back, but Corey Haimes isn't. He's back in an alternate ending. It's
really?
On the extras.
Oh, so he.
Wow.
So is that what all the drama was?
Probably. I don't know. I guess.
And in the alternate ending, it sets it up for yet another sequel with, I can't remember his name, but Corey Feldman's brother in the original.
Oh, the frog brother?
Yeah. Him being the next bad guy, I guess.
Okay, then.
Wow.
All right.
That is sad and desperate.
Anticipation builds.
Yeah. Thanks for taking the bullet.
Yeah, Corey Feldman again goes with his terrible voice as Edgar Frog.
And there you go.
Vampires.
You're a better man than I am, Mark, for watching that. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, absolutely. All right, Barry, did you watch anything? Or you were in Hawaii, so.
I was. And I want to give a quick shout out to the guys at Wild 105.5 Hawaii's Party Station. Thank you for the Ed and Greg show. They pimped this show like we were a $1,000 hoe. So thank you guys. Because they seriously, like every other thing they said was ScreenGeeks.com. I mean, they really pushed it. So thank you, Ed and Greg.
$10. Hey, it's all okay.
Yeah, man. We were like a $1,000 hoe on sales. So they plugged us that way. So they pimped this show. So thank you guys. Last thing I saw was in the theaters, I saw X-Files 2 and I saw Mummy 3. Anybody else see X-Files 2 here?
No. I haven't. Maybe I'll go catch that in the morning.
Okay. We can talk about it in the next show, because I would like to talk about it with someone who's seen it, because otherwise it'd be like, you know, I don't want to spoil
Quick,
anything.
Did you like it? Or
I did. I liked it. I thought it was very haunting and very good. Not what I expected, and certainly not on the same caliber as the other movie, but it doesn't even try to be. It's a very different film, but I thought it was very good. Mummy 3, not good. Not a good movie at all. But I got to say, when the Yetis show up for no reason and start beating people up, I was very happy. Because Yetis, they just make me happy. Definitely not a movie to see if you're a Jet Li fan, because he doesn't really give a performance per se. In fact, no one really does. Even Brendan Fraser doesn't. His heart just doesn't seem to be in it. But you know, the special effects are fun, and it's dumber than a bag of rocks. But I, you know, I got what I paid for. It was fun. Stupid. Really stupid, but fun. Not as good as the other two.
Gotcha. Josh, did you watch
it? You know what? I just got back from Nebraska last night and watched a lot of Freakazoid, and that was about it. So
good, man.
But I got my parents hooked on it now.
Did you?
Good job.
Two
good.
More people
Candle
in the
Jack.
Cult.
That's all I got to say. Yep. The main thing I've been watching more of Mad Men, the AMC show, and really, it's a glorified soap opera. It's a really well-written soap opera that I'm kind of enjoying, but...
So you're hooked.
It's still a soap opera. I don't know about hooked, but Steph started watching it, and she's like, I don't know why, but I can't stop watching it. So, yeah, it's pretty good. And Nate, did you catch much of anything? Or
Let's see. Since we got back from Comic-Con, it was The Rocker, Step Brothers, and Pineapple Express.
We'll get to The Rocker in a bit. Yeah. Chris, have you watched much lately? Are you still in recovery mode?
You know what? No, I actually got to, I've caught up on, I guess, a few movies in the future. I got, like we mentioned before the show started, Tropic Thunder, Hamlet 2, and The Rocker.
Cool.
I want to see Hamlet 2.
Yeah, me too.
Just for the music number, Rock Me Sexy Jesus. I don't know why, but it makes me laugh. Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters this past weekend.
Past weekend, you had Pineapple Express, Seth Rogen, James Franco, Rosie Perez, Gary Cole, one of the strangest casts of all time, and a sequel only I'm looking forward to, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants 2. That's part due. And then in very limited release, you've got a movie that's not on the caliber of Grindhouse, though they're billing it that way, Hellride with Michael Madsen. And if there is a cinematic hell, Beer for My Horses is without a doubt playing there. That is... based on that terrible country song, and I like country music, but that's a terrible song. The movie stars Toby Keith and Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Beer for My Horse.
Part of me just died.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So who saw Pineapple Express?
I did.
Nate.
I did. Mark.
All right. So.
Oh, yeah, I have.
All right.
So Dave and Barry are out of the loop.
Yes, we are. So how was it, gentlemen?
I really enjoyed it.
It was fun, but it didn't have, to me, the heart that most Apatow films have. So I thought it was lacking just a certain, I don't know, human aspect to it. But it was funny, nonetheless, so.
I felt like it was really long. Did you guys feel that way?
A little
Absolutely.
Bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was sitting there like, when is this going to end? And all the action is at the end of the film, so it's kind of like you were waiting to get to that point, but then it was just like, when is this going to end? And the whole diner scene at the very end of the film where they kind of recap everything was so pointless.
It was. So like the news at the end of the night.
And that one guy that kept getting shot, how is he
yeah,
still
Red,
alive?
Well, there's certain things that you ask yourself, but then you're like, they're stoned. Like, why didn't they just do this? Like, why did they throw their cell phone in the woods? Oh, because they're stoned.
Chris?
Yeah, I agree. I think there's lots of different parts where you're wondering, like, come on, get on with it. And, you know, I think for the most part, I think James Franco is the real winner of that movie.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I think I really enjoyed his, you know, he embodied kind of a, you know, the probably the funniest part of the character. And I think, you know, Seth Rogen, it's just Seth Rogen. I mean, it's just, you know,
over and over. Nice.
Yep. Which I love the guy, but I mean, you know.
Right. Just give me something new, you know. And but I think Danny McBride is a great, I think he, as Red, I think he was very, very, I think he was amusing. I think he was, I shouldn't say a little bit wasted, but, you know, certainly they could have used him a little bit more in this.
I feel like the biggest problem with it was I felt like I was just watching a bunch of people have fun, and I wasn't.
Kind of like Ocean's 12?
That's how I felt. Yeah.
Ooh. Kind.
Okay. Well, but not on a different level. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I said this before the show, but a bunch of kids were getting up every 20, 35 minutes and going out and smoking and come back, and I'm just like, okay, do I have to be stoned to want to like this? I don't know.
Well, you've kind of got to take it for what it is. It's just this generation's Cheech and Chong flick, you know, where you don't really go to watch a movie. You just go to watch people stoned. So if you take it in that, it's kind of fun.
But if those movies are good, they're good. Like, is it on the level of, like, Harold and Kumar? Or
no, I would say Harold and Kumar is better.
Really?
Really? I would not say that at all. I enjoyed this a lot more.
Yeah, I think Kumar and Harold and Kumar, I mean, that's something you definitely have to be a little inebriated.
Well, I'm talking about the first one, though.
Okay.
Not for you.
I don't know. It's one of those movies where afterwards, you kind of have to let it sit for a while to find out if anything really sticks with you afterwards. I mean, with Harold and Kumar, you know, you have a few different moments that you kind of, you know, were so out there that it, you know, they've stayed with you. But with this one, I don't know if there was really any catchphrases besides, you know, at the end with the Daewoo, yeah. You know, that moment. So.
Well,
you know, I'm not sure.
I heard a lot of people saying it's like killing a unicorn. Oh, that's the phrase. Another phrase. Now.
So it's no Superbad then.
Oh,
no.
Definitely.
No.
Not.
No. Not.
That's sad.
No.
Yeah.
Like, no, not even a little bit.
That stinks.
All right. Well, I'm guessing no one got around to Sister to the Traveling Pants yet.
Not yet. Coming soon.
Not the film, at least.
Oh. Oh.
My cousin did see it, and she said it was awful. So,
hmm.
Don't know.
Watch Lost Boys over it.
Oh.
Oh. Ouch.
But indie?
No.
Okay, sorry. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about what's coming out on DVD this week. There's a couple things, but...
This Week in DVD, South Park Season 11. Is this the one with Imagination Land?
Yes. Excellent. And they're all going to be, because I was worried, I was like, do I need to buy the Imagination Land DVD to get the, you know, or do, can I wait for the Season 11? But yeah, it's all going to be on there. And this is the first South Park season that all the episodes are unedited. So I don't know if that's good or bad thing.
No, that's awesome.
I don't know. Cool. Okay. We'll have this discussion. Go ahead and keep going. I want to come back to this.
Okay. A small movie that very few people saw, Smart People, starring Dennis Quaid, Sarah Jessica Parker, Ellen Page, and Thomas Hayden Church, who steals the movie. Not a bad film. DC Superheroes Filmation Adventures. Yes, Filmation.
Oh, yeah. It's not as good as He-Man. I'm just warning you.
Okay. Because you know who else? Filmation did that movie, Pinocchio and the Emperor of the Night, and that wasn't that great either. Caroline in the City, Season 1. You know, I love me some Leah Thompson.
Yeah.
Leah Thompson right there.
There you go.
And Stephen Chow's CJ7. Have you seen this yet, Dave?
I have not, but I want to. It's Stephen Chow E.T.
Okay.
Which can do nothing
that
but improve
sells,
on...
That, yeah. You just sold it for me. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, going back to South Park real quick. I'm personally of the opinion that I liked the earlier seasons better because of the bleeping. I think the bleeping actually made it funnier.
Actually, I'm going to agree with you on that.
Okay, now that you brought that into it, yeah, that was funny. It definitely was. Watching it live, I guess you got that kind of like, oh, wow, this is a little different because they have so many bleeps in it. But I don't know. I think it might bring a new aspect to it, not bleeping everything out. And they might try to get a little bit raunchier with the next seasons coming out because of it. I don't know.
I don't know. I kind of got turned off to South Park after the movie because of just
how profane it
just wasn't
was.
As funny anymore for some reason. Like, think about Shut Your Effing Face, Uncle Effort. Think of it with bleeps.
All right. You guys.
Which is actually the first time I heard it because they played it on the radio like that. The thing is like watching these kids speak as vulgarly. Is that vulgarly? Yeah. I don't know. As they do, it's like
with the beeps. Express. Sorry.
With the beeps, it's like. You're hearing it, but you're not, so you can kind of like distance yourself from their cursing. But then actually hearing it, it's like kind of shocking and not funny. I don't know.
Are you much of a South Park watcher, Chris?
You know what? I was, and somehow after college, I just kind of lost track of it. But it's a good topic for discussion because I've recently got one of those iPod Touches, and I put the season 2 of Chappelle's Show on it, which was uncensored, and that was one of the things that I thought of when the swearing was in there, and you know what, it really enhanced Chappelle's comedy. So I think one of those things is whether you make a liberal use of it or really stringent with it. I think with Dave, he knew where to stick it in and where it'd be the funniest, whereas something with South Park, I can see what you mean. You know, the Uncle Effer song. You know, you're kind of just doing it for shock value. You know, you've got to weigh the comedy.
Yeah, yeah. I think Chappelle's Show was better without the censoring. Oddly enough, because it almost seems like a double standard. But I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. But it's figured it's worth talking about. So we're we have one piece of news to discuss. I'll let Barry take care of it, and we'll weigh in, and then we'll take a break and come back for our long haul of the main topic.
Yes, yes. I want to give a nod of my head to Mr. Bernie Mac, who died at the age of 50, very sadly, very young in his career. I think it's very appropriate that a lot of people, the first time they ever saw Bernie Mac was in the movie House Party 3. He was taking over in that movie basically for Robin Harris, and it's very appropriate because Robin Harris was very likewise a comic in the same sense. Very shocking, basically said whatever was on our minds, and most of us felt way too guilty to ever voice in public, let alone on stage. And it wasn't until his big breakthrough movie, of course, Spike Lee's The Original Kings of Comedy, that all of a sudden people had a feel for his style of humor, his style of stand-up, and he absolutely brought the house down in that film. Mac, unfortunately, became the star of a lot of movies that were not worth his time, kind of like Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor's done a handful of really great movies, but he's done a lot of bad ones. Same thing with Bernie Mac, the star of Charlie's Angels 2, taking over for Bill Murray. That was unfortunate. Mr. 3000, a vehicle that really wasn't up to par for him. Really, of all things, not only did he steal a lot of the Ocean's movies and a pretty thankless role, I still think his best performance ever in any movie is Bad Santa. I love him in that movie. Love him in Bad Santa. But anyway, whether you've heard his comedy albums or you've seen him steal scene after scene in everything from The Players Club to Ocean's 11, real talent and a real heart and a really gifted guy. He wrote a fantastic book about his tough upbringing. Certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. Bernie Mac will be missed.
Yeah. And the Bernie Mac show was even pretty fun, too.
Yeah, it was a good show.
It was pretty darn funny. And I'm not the biggest fan of his work, but he was, like you said, he stole Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13. And, you know, whatever in Transformers. But, you know, still, it's sad to see someone go.
No, I still like that scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah, when he's talking to his mom and she flips him off. And,
yeah.
Yeah. That little bit, I mean, it's just little things that only he could pull off because you couldn't see anyone else pulling off what he said. And I hate to see someone go really in the prime of their life still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to miss him as well. Anyone else have any thoughts at all?
Absolutely, I do. I mean, as a fellow, you know, Chicagoan, you know, where I grew up too, you know, he really made a name for himself by you know, defying the odds for probably the worst part of America to live, which is the South Side of Chicago. You know, he was definitely a talent, and he brought a lot of, he made a lot of other people better. And I think one of the things that you mentioned were the Ocean's movies, where he was criminally underused. But you know, when he was on the screen, he was just unstoppable.
Absolutely,
yeah, definitely.
So yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to his family. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back.
This is Ray.
So
let's listen in as Ray hits on Sandra.
Excuse me, miss, but do you know karate? Because your body is kicking.
Now, let's listen to the same scene. Only this time, Ray is sporting a quality Geek Label t-shirt.
Yo, baby, I was wondering,
Damn.
Rejection.
What's up with that?
We can't really stop it.
Damn.
But we can outfit you in buttery smooth designs for geeks, gamers, and tech heads. They're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts.
Damn.
Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
And welcome back. This week, it's going to be kind of weird because I have a feeling Barry and Josh and I are going to be hardly saying anything because we're talking Comic-Con 08. And that's kind of why I asked Mark and Nate to come on, and definitely why I asked Chris to come on. But let's just kind of dive right into it. And I'm sure we're going to have plenty of questions, actually. So much for us being quiet. It was your guys' first year going there. What did you guys think of it?
I was personally way overwhelmed getting there. One of the first things we did was go to the floor, and just how massive that was. There was just way too much stuff to cram in and not enough days, what we thought, to see it all. On top of trying to get to each of the panels that we wanted to see. And so not having really an objective of what we wanted to do, it was hard to map out kind of exactly what we were trying to do. But yeah, how about you?
Well, first going into the floor, I thought it wasn't that big, but then went around a wall and saw the rest and was a little overwhelmed. Just the amazing amount of booths. I really enjoyed just walking the floor. I could go all 5 days just walking the floor and still not see everything.
Cool. What was your favorite thing that you saw there?
I enjoyed to death all of the Kevin Smith panels, and even the ones kind of leading up to it. We ended up getting into Hall H almost like 4 hours before both of the panels, and ended up sitting through the Wolfman and Star Wars and The Spirit and a couple things like that, but those were awesome. But definitely Kevin Smith, both in his Visionary panel and as well as his Zack and Miri panel, were just unbelievable. He's incredibly funny. I mean, even outside of his movies, just talking through a panel, he can carry a show. And I thought he was funny. I thought there was a lot of good information. I love the 5 minutes of Zack and Miri that he showed. So, yeah, it was kind of the reason we were there, and I definitely enjoyed it.
Cool. What was your highlight, Chris? You're kind of like the veteran.
Yeah, this is actually my fifth year there. Cool. I almost scares me to think I've been there for like half a decade, you know, every year like clockwork. And you're right, it's overwhelming, and you know, if you go more than once, you realize the necessity for actually printing out the programming guides and physically plotting these things out and like strategizing your time. You know, it's one thing to go and just enjoy the insanity of it all, but it's quite another one to try to actually realize what's there and prioritize, you know, what you want to do.
Did you have some time to just kind of have fun and go out and walk the floor?
You know, I did. And I was able to do that. And I think that's one of the things I really don't like to hear from other people when they bag on it for it being, you know, monument of excess and largesse, that it doesn't take into account, you know, that this is like the one time of the year when just, you know, nerds can just be nerds and, you know, just indulge themselves and, you know, all the sort of creative, you know, writings. And, you know, I was there to mostly do interviews and what have you, but I went home with with at least 25 pounds worth of new books, you know. So, and it's great. It was great. You know, t-shirts to add to the wardrobe, and you know, it's a real sort of, you know, convention of great minds.
What's some of the cool swag you got this year?
You know, some of the cool swag. What was it? The Watchmen shirt that we got from being in the panel is very sweet. It's awesome. It that was one of the ones they gave out for the Warner ones. One of the other ones I'm gonna turn into a workout shirt is the Terminator one. For if you got to the Terminator one, it's just the big, you know, cyborg head with the writing on the back. So
cool.
You know, some of the best stuff was the free stuff. You know, which, you know, if you go to the Hall H where it, you know, sits 6,000 people, if you're in on a good panel, sometimes that's the best swag of all. You know.
Did you get the giant effing robots or even bigger giant effing robots are coming? Did you get that shirt?
No, I didn't. What panel was that for?
I guess
that would have been Paramount. Paramount didn't go.
Did they not do that? I wonder did I see that online then? Okay, I'm talking.
Yeah, so they were selling it online, I think. Yeah.
But did DreamWorks do a panel? Because don't they co-do Transformers?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
No, but there's nothing. Paramount didn't show at all.
Scratch that.
There's all kinds of Star Trek stuff out there from what I heard, but no actual panel. Hmm. What was your guys' favorite piece of swag you got? Was it the Watchmen bag?
Okay, we didn't get a lot of swag just because I didn't really know exactly where to go to get it all. So we got a lot of like pointless random comics, but our big
dude, you got the Helen Keller
cool.
comic.
Yes. Helen Keller. Helen Keller.
Oh, is
comic.
It Helen Keller?
No, it is Helen Keller.
Oh, it's one got of the like other.
Yeah. Nice. The title just sells the whole.
She's
concept.
Like an assassin. It's they showed it to me. It's hilarious.
Oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. But yeah, the big ass Watchmen bag was pretty cool.
Yeah,
I wanted one of those bags too, man. Oh,
we happened upon it. It was awesome. We just went looking on Saturday for him, and all of a sudden this guy was just throwing them out. And the next day we found out that they're actually worth quite a bit of money. So we were pretty pumped.
Nice. I liked a lot of the free posters given out, just pumping for new movies. Got the new Transformers, Lost Boys, the Tribe.
Well, no, you're gonna frame that one, aren't you?
Oh yeah,
you and your Lost Boys.
The LAN Party Massacre. I got a poster for that.
Oh my god!
LAN.
Yeah,
like,
it's land it's a party poster with a cut off hand holding a mouse.
Completely forgot about Artist Alley though, where all the comic book artists were. Got to go and see a lot of cool artwork. Meet nice. A lot of cool people. Got to see Alex Sinclair and see a couple of his pieces. Have him sign some comics and stuff like that. So
great.
That was another really cool part.
I like it. That. I appreciate you bringing that up because most people forget that's even there. It's like, yeah. What about the movies? The movies.
There's
stars?
Comic book stuff at Comic Con.
That's awesome.
Crazy
it was really
talk.
Cool.
Well, good. I'm glad you did that.
Yeah, with some big names too. So it was cool. Yeah.
Right on. Right on. And you went and did me a personal favor, and I appreciate that still.
Oh yeah, got to go talk to Will Wheaton, which nice. Even though I don't know a lot about him, I was helping Dave out, and that was a very cool experience. He's an incredibly cool guy, and yeah, got to buy some cool stuff. So
great. Yes, yes, yes. Cool. Well, what are some of the highlights of your interviews that you had, Chris?
I think it was a toss up between being able and normally I don't like doing them just because you're lumped in with a whole bunch of other people like round tables.
Yeah.
Although I made an exception because it was for the basically the entire cast of Watchmen, along with Dave Gibbons and Zack Snyder. So getting at least just one or two personal questions into the mix, you know, was reason enough for me to do it. And it was, I videotaped them all. So hopefully I'm going to be posting those here soon. So that was a highlight. And then I think maybe even the second highlight after that was being able to talk to Steve Coogan of Hamlet 2. Nice. And then the writer, the director, Andrew Fleming, and the writer, Pam Brady, who also wrote for South Park. In talking about Hamlet 2, and I think that was a huge gold star that made the trip worthwhile.
Very cool.
Did you get to talk to Missy Peregrine again?
She wasn't there.
Aww.
I didn't see her. I did get to chat with her publicist, and she hooked me up again with and I'll probably be running it around September when the show starts again, but I have a video interview with Zachary Levi and Josh Gomez of Chuck.
Nice. Oh, cool.
And he, again, I can't, if I could proclaim it from a mountaintop, this guy, I mean, the two of them are just the nicest individuals in the world, and even long before he even had the show, the guy still humble and nice, and it was the two of them together. We did it outside, and I believe at one point Zachary Quinto comes by, some guy dressed in camouflage trying to, I think he was working for the Navy, trying to recruit at the Comic-Con, just all of a sudden sort of just went in the middle of the interview, and we're all kind of dumbfounded at what had happened, but you know, we just rolled with it, and even before it started, I think Zach shouted out to Masioka, and Masi had no idea who he was, and that was an awkward moment. He's like, all right, yeah, sure, I just lead into your show and whatever.
Well, and you know, when you think of potential Navy material, I think Comic-Con.
Yeah, exactly. Geeks who, yeah, and I don't understand the logic behind that, but that was a good time. It was a good time.
Well, they have the superhero backgrounds to use against terrorists.
That's right. That's right.
There you go. That was actually the viral marketing for G.I. Joe.
There you go.
I wish. I was so disappointed that they didn't do a damn thing apart from handing out posters, and I got some lame T-shirt made up with the Mars. I guess Mars is something to do with Cobra or something in this new movie. You know, at the went to the Paramount booth, and all I could think of was like a Snickers bar or something.
There you go. Was that probably the biggest downside to Comic-Con, not having anything from Paramount, really?
Yeah, I think so. There was a lot of lost opportunities for some of the studios where, you know, I understand that it's, you know, the economy or whatever their reasoning, you know, was behind it. It certainly freed up my schedule to block in a few more things. But, you know, this was just an important time for some of these studios to do something to get some, you know, some good word of mouth going, and a lot of drop balls.
Gotcha.
Well, let's go down the list between the three of you. Did you guys see the Watchmen panel, and what'd you think?
I didn't see the Watchmen panel. Okay. I hate to say, missed it.
Okay. Chris?
I woke up at 5 in the morning, got my cab at 5:30, got and stood in line at 6 a.m. to see that damn panel. I stood in line for like 6 hours.
Wow, man.
That leads into the biggest gripe, was that they don't have any exceptions for people of press, man. I don't consider myself anything better than anyone else. It just would have been nice to be able to roll up to a panel saying, I want to cover this to someone, and you know, if they want me, you know, stand me in a chicken coop or something, you know, designed for media, fine. But
that's what I'd heard from several sites.
I remember us talking about that last year too. So they haven't accommodated anymore.
No. You know, and I think that's one downside it was. But you know what? It was definitely worth it for the footage that they showed. It was incredible. Incredible.
Cool.
But then again, there was no dialogue in it, right?
No, that was the other thing I've been hearing. Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that until after the fact, but visually it's you know, it's a step and above. It's kind of hopefully what everyone's been waiting for.
Great. Cool. Terminator Salvation?
Yes, I saw that panel. Oh, and I saw the footage too. It looked, you know, I don't know. Dan, I guess there's a lot of people who go on the McG bag wagon and, you know, bag on the guy. But, you know, I have hope. I have hope. I mean, too. It looks a lot better than 3.
And 3 was even a pleasant surprise.
True. Exactly.
for what it was probably going to be, what everyone expected it to be, it was considerably better. Especially the end.
So Christian Bale didn't make it, right? The director tried to call him during the panel?
I don't know. I got into the panel maybe 5-10 minutes into it. I don't know if he tried before I got in, but
he did. I saw it on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
You think he called him like right before the footage, and he didn't say anything obviously over the phone or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's just like, "I'm here at Comic-Con with." It really wasn't. It was kind of stupid. So
okay,
fair enough.
Twilight.
No.
Did you guys go to the Twilight?
Unfortunately, no. Chris, I'll go ahead and let you take that one again.
No, I don't. I didn't see it. And frankly, if I would have had the time, I think I would have skipped it. I absolutely would have skipped it.
Barry said, "Hey, it's a great place to pick up chicks." To which Chris said,
"Yeah, if they're 12, between 12 and 15.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like going to a Backstreet Boys concert.
So I have to ask, kind of related to that. I mean, I know there was a bunch of, you know, the fan base for Twilight showing up. Just for that panel, did they actually walk the floor and stuff? Like, I know there have been reports of some of them being pretty rowdy. Was that kind of, have you heard anything about that or not really?
I heard it was like almost like the Beatles showing up. I mean, it really was. I heard it was just a pandemonium. I mean, that's the one thing I took away from the floor was that, you know, the panel that people just went, you know, crazy for it. And then afterwards, I know they were doing a lot of other signings or something. And I don't know who was there to do it, but
gotcha.
I heard it was just pandemonium.
That's okay. Crazy. That's cool.
The day the earth stood still.
I didn't get in. I didn't get in until that afternoon, so I did not even get to catch it. I'll defer to the other two gentlemen.
Comic-Con noobs here. We didn't know what we were doing, so we had no idea which rooms to go to, what we wanted to see. Next year, we have a bigger plan. Hopefully, we'll see a lot more.
Well, and like you said, you were there to see Kevin Smith mostly.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith and Claudio Sanchez.
That's fantastic.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And Coheed.
Yeah. If anybody knows who Claudio Sanchez is, it's a rock band that he fronts, and he's got his own comic book out, and so he had a couple signings and stuff like that there. So that was another big thing to see, which I was pumped on.
That's great.
Cool.
Did any of you three make it to the Disney with Up or Tron 2?
No.
I saw the stuff on YouTube for Tron 2, thanks to Dave here, and that was unbelievable. I wish I was in the panel just to see that, but I'm really bummed I missed it.
And if I might interject really quick, that wasn't even from Tron 2.
Hmm.
It was a guy who wanted to do it and said, you know what, we can do this, we can make it good, we can make it relevant. So he went to Digital Domain, and they made it over like 6 months. And that's pretty much what got the movie greenlit.
And they got Jeff Bridges for the footage, right?
Yeah. He's really
good. I forgot about that. That was so cool. That was an awesome cameo in that.
Yes.
Tropic Thunder.
Yes.
That was a qualified yes.
One of the best reasons to have been at Comic-Con was that absolutely. I didn't get to see the. I'm not sure. Did they have a panel there? I don't know if they had a panel, but I got to see the film.
I don't think they did have a panel.
No, I don't think so either.
But what was it like seeing the film?
You know, I went in there. Thank God I got to see it when I did, because there are so many things and so many spoilerish things that I believe people are going to kind of let loose on as soon as they see it. Oh, you got to catch this, 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 and this. There are so many little nuances and so many surprises that the less you see and the less that you know about this movie, a lot better off you're going to be. Everyone in the theater just loved it. And again, like Tom Cruise went from, you know, persona non grata with me. I mean, it was just like, you know, what's this guy doing? You know, he shot back up on the list by, you know, for me anyway, in thinking that this is more of what he should be doing is parts like these. I mean, he's going to blow a lot of people away, and I'm surprised we haven't all heard about a little bit more about his performance as a foul-mouthed agent in this.
Personally, I didn't even know he was in it, so I feel kind of bad.
No, it's all good. Cool.
I think all three of you saw this, the Zach and Mira thing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
You can go ahead and start, man.
No, absolutely no. Kevin runs the site that obviously I write for, so I made it a point to catch both the director panel and the Zach and Miri panel, and you know, both of them were very interesting. Kevin obviously knows how to work a crowd, and I think during even the director's panel, you know, Zack Snyder and you know a whole bunch of everyone else was kind of just eating his fumes on, you know, trying to, you know, be jocular and jovial with the crowd.
Yeah,
you
know, absolutely.
But absolutely. It was great.
He kind of gianted over him. It was pretty crazy. Like, nobody even remembers that they were on that panel, but yeah. I thought it was really funny. Yeah, like you said, he really knows how to carry a crowd, and I thought between him and Seth Rogen and pretty much all of his other friends that he brings on to him, even though it did turn into a big just Q&A that most of it didn't end up being about Zach and Mary, what he did tell us about it and the footage and everything leading up to the footage, he had a whole bunch of titles that had talked about just random stuff, him heckling the guy who heckled him last year at Comic-Con and a whole bunch of just random stuff. But it was very funny. It was enjoyable, and I'm really glad I caught it.
Nice. I'd liked how if there was any spot that was kind of dull, you could just always laugh because Seth Rogen would just give his classic.
Seth's a really good impression.
So that is one thing about Kevin Smith. That even if he's not on topic, he's still entertaining.
Oh, absolutely. It's why he's one of my favorite people.
Sweet.
How about the Wolfman?
Didn't see it. Didn't see it. Have you guys heard of anything good? I mean, isn't the one Benicio del Toro?
Yeah. Yes. Did you guys go to it?
Yeah, you did, Mark, right?
And
I were there.
And I saw the footage on YouTube. I think it looks awesome, personally.
Seriously, it looked like a really good throwback. Like, they did it very well. They took it very seriously, but they didn't try to update it, you know? Well, update graphics and everything like that, but they didn't try to make it bigger than what it was. And I thought Benicio and Anthony Hopkins and everything looked like it could be a really, really good movie.
Yeah, so. I think it's going to be solid. I really do. Even with all, doesn't it have a really big backstory of all a bunch of trouble that it's been going through? Mm. Like, didn't they lose a director and stuff?
They did, yeah. Now it's Joe Johnson, director of The Rocketeer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, wow. And Henry I Shrunk the Kids is a good director. Finally, I wanted to ask you guys, because a number of sites, and I mean like at least half a dozen that I've been reading, say this was the worst panel at Comic-Con. I want to hear, you know, certainly if you disagree with this, I want to hear what you guys think for Will Eisner's The Spirit.
I didn't see the panel, and I don't know if the other guys there did get to see it, but I avoided that one like the plague. I'm not impressed with Frank Miller as a, you know, as someone who's even entertaining to listen to. I think he's kind of an old salty dog, like get off my lawn kind of guy. And
I totally agree.
I concur.
He's even during the director's panel, it's like, all right, Frank, you made some great books, but obviously you're better as a shut-in than you are as a public figure. So
he gave this attitude like he could have been anywhere else and been happier than where he was. You know,
really?
It was kind of a bummer to watch because I really like his comics. I like everything like that. I'm even a little bit more excited for The Spirit after having seen this, just because of everybody and kind of talking about it. And some of the footage looked really cool. Like they took it for a really good comic book movie. But but yeah, like you said, Frank Miller was just kind of a bummer. Like both in the Visionary and in the Spirit panel, I just kind of had hoped he was not there. But yeah.
The only thing I got more from it is from the first original trailer, it looked just like Sin City with a different story.
Yeah.
But after seeing some more of the footage, it looks like it's differed from all the just black and white with red here and there. There is actually more colors to it. So
there's blue now.
So it looks a little bit better than what I had thought of when I saw the original trailer, but still.
That's interesting because I was scared away completely by the panel just by the sort of teaser that threw out there. I'm like, well, this looks like Sin City Part 2.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's definitely not. I thought that was kind of a dumb teaser almost to put out, even though it's very cool. People are thinking, okay, Frank Miller, it looks exactly like he can't come up with anything new. But I don't know, maybe had people seen some of the other footage, they might be a little bit more pumped on it. Because I think it looks – I hated it after the teaser, but I think it looks pretty cool now.
Well, I think a part of the issue, like seeing the teaser personally, I'm a little familiar with The Spirit, and it's nowhere near as hard boiled as Sin City. I'm like, if he turns it into this super hard boiled movie, I'm done. No thanks. So
it had like a lot more comedic points to it, especially with The Spirit and all the girls he gets with.
nice,
but yeah. So it's differed a lot from. Or it looks like it's differed a lot from what Sin City is.
Cool. I'm interested to see actually how Frank directs, though. He didn't really do a lot in Sin City other than just kind of supervise and everything like that. But now he's actually taken the role of directing, and hopefully it'll be good for him, you know, as his career.
Now, if he's bad on stage, can you imagine taking directions from him?
God.
Was the cast engaging at least when they were talking?
Oh, Sam Jackson.
Sam Jackson stole it. Yep. Sam Jackson was the Kevin Smith of that panel. he was really funny, and of course, I mean, I guess everybody was a little bit starstruck that he was there. I didn't know he was going to be there, but I thought it turned out really, really funny, even though he was the only really highlight of that.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, we've talked movie panels. Did you guys go to any of the TV panels at all?
Yes, we went to the Office panel. It had the writers.
Nice.
And?
I enjoyed it a lot. Rainn Wilson kind of ran the whole panel, and then... there's a lot of stupid questions from people in the Q&A, but it was pretty much just a really big Q&A. And
cool.
Just asking about previous seasons and where they get their material to write for The Office.
I personally was really happy that they had the writers instead of like the whole cast or something like that, because I thought that brought a different edge to it, because the writers are more part of the whole... being that is The Office more than the cast, even though the cast is pretty big. So I thought it was interesting seeing more of the origins of kind of characters and things like that through the writers instead of just the cast.
Did they give any hints as to what they're going to do next season? Or
Not really. They kept it kind of on the down low. Sadly, I had hoped for a little bit, but no, I'm okay with how it ended up.
They gave little info on what they were meaning to do with this season, but with the writer's strike, and ended up making them have to do 4-hour-long episodes at the beginning. They wanted to kind of go more along. They were thinking of what to do with Pam and Jim as in relationship. They compared it to, well, we don't really want to do a Ross and Rachel where they break up and get back together. They kind of just want to make it go along with a solid relationship.
Good.
Cool.
Yeah. Kind of go in a different direction than TV sitcoms have.
Yeah, they're trying to prove that the show is more human than anything else. So.
Gotcha. And my apologies to listeners if you're hearing weird noises in the background. It just started raining like crazy. So, yeah, such is life. Did you end up catching any of the TV panels at all, Chris?
I only saw one. I only got to see the truck panel. I got to see a little bit of what's coming up in season 2 for them.
Was it a pretty good panel?
What's that?
Was it a pretty good panel?
It was a great panel. I didn't know that Yvonne Straczynski is Australian. That was one of the first things that struck me, and I know that what's his name from all those Firefly movies? Adam Baldwin. Adam Baldwin was in.
And man who busted my balls a few months back. Yeah.
And he got an enormous, that's his tribe, as it were, those people from Comic-Con. And two of the writers were there along with Josh Gomez and Zach Levi, and it was very good. And some it was nice to actually have good questions from the audience, whereas I don't know what they must tell the stars and the writers before they come out about the kind of quality of questions that they're going to get, but sometimes you kind of just shrink your head and go, why, dear God, what must I be thinking? I mean, some of the questions that are asked and are posed that, but for the most part, it was a very good panel to find out, exactly what was coming up.
Right on. Shall we get into the giant gorilla that no one wants to talk about? That is the Rocker.
Oh my God.
It's so all three of you saw it.
Did you see this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know had he seen it. Wow, I'm sorry for that. It was cool that Rainn Wilson was there at the screening that Mark and I went to. So that was pretty cool, and that made everything a little bit better. But outside that, the movie was... It wanted to be School of Rock 2, basically, is what it kind of felt like to me, because it was the same quality of jokes and everything like that, and I just felt like I had seen it all before, on top of just unoriginality kind of across the board. So that was my...
And really bad, wannabe inspiring moments. With Rainn Wilson trying to inspire the little kids he's playing with, including Messed Up Face. And it wasn't a kid movie.
Kind of along the same lines, Chris?
Yeah, if I could be pull quoted, I would say one of the worst movies of the year, !! Chris Dipp, quickstopentertainment.com.
Dang.
We'll see that in the DVD box.
Oh my God, it was, it really wasn't even, I was hoping for a lot less than I even got, and so it was just homogeneously bad. It was, Will Arnett was woefully, underused, and when I can say that one of the off characters of Saturday Night Live plays the best part of the movie, I don't even know what the guy's name is, he plays like a skeevy little agent. He's got some of the best, they said, ad-lib lines of the movie, and that was, the best part of it. So
Christina Applegate wasn't too bad either.
No, she was not.
How did Emma Stone do? I like her. She's super bad.
Therein lies the problem. She's very good, and I got to interview her the day after. And so I know I have to run that interview when it comes out, and I have to be very careful with the kind of words that I choose to not use: suck, crappy, junky, kind of adjectives to describe the movie.
Yeah.
So, but she was very pleasant, very nice girl, very nice actress, and unfortunately it wasn't enough to make this any movie worth watching.
Did the audience like it?
Good question. In the parts where, people are supposed to laugh, and people did. I saw it at a press screening with a whole bunch, with just regular people too. And everyone seemed to like it. I think this will just do average business. In fact, I would almost think that when, you know, Monday hits, when after it's released, I think you'll see it maybe in, you know, maybe in the top five, maybe at the five spot, you know, maybe.
Did they like it at your screening at Comic-Con?
Yeah, they loved it. But I think ours was probably 99% just people that got the ticket from the office panel and went to it at the Limelight, I think is what it was called, or something like that.
Gaslamp.
Great theater. Yeah.
It was a cool theater. But yeah, they seemed to really like it, which I was hoping maybe their enthusiasm would get me more into the movie, but it really didn't. It was a brick. So it was hard to watch.
Chris, did Tropic Thunder get a standing ovation?
It did, actually. People were just howling by the end of it. And I'm not going to give it away, but the movie ends, and then the credits roll, and there's a little bit something extra given, and that's what just, it really drives this movie over the top. Okay. And so once the movie ends, stay tuned, and yeah, it's great.
Okay.
Back to the rocker, though.
Why? To bring us down.
Well, I was really bummed out with the character who plays the keyboards. I don't know the actor's name or the character's name. But
Josh Gad, I believe.
All right. He
when you
really
take note of who is bad, that's not a sign. Okay, go ahead.
It seemed like he really wanted to be Jonah Hill. He tried to play a Jonah Hill and did not do good with it either. And so, like, he didn't find any unique character in him at all, and I just was really bummed out with that.
Yikes.
No more rocker, please.
Chris, is there anything else you wanted to bring up about Comic-Con? Stuff you saw? Any other highlights?
No, I think as I go through what I have from what I brought home, you know, with the interviews and what have you, I think I'll be able to, you know, I'll probably reflect maybe tomorrow and think, oh, I should have brought this or that up. But I think overall, I think it's important just to get out there that, you know, it is a big all encompassing kind of beast, and you know, as you guys know, that it can swallow you whole if you don't, you know, plan out your day and really stick to an itinerary of sorts. But I keep coming back because I love it. I mean, where else can I, you know, go say hi to a political columnist like Ted Rall, and then to like an artist like Jim Mahfood, and then, you know, Adrian Tomine, and, you know, a brilliant guys who are able to do things that, you know, that inspire me artistically, and, you know, and then go see something like a movie panel for, you know, Watchmen or what have you. And I think it's one of those things where I think a lot more people should, you know, and I'm good. I'm glad that it does get the attention that it does, but it's just a fun time. It's just a good time to embrace your inner geek.
It really is. That'll be the highlight of my year every year from now on.
Very nice. And we're almost positive that we're going to be going next year. So yeah, we're hoping, and we will have to like grab a drink or something, Chris.
Yeah,
so
we finally need to meet up with you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There's a show. Absolutely. Getting to meet someone over the internet. Wow.
We're best friends.
Are you really a girl?
Okay, we're leaving it alone because that's going to go to a bad place so fast. All right, why don't we talk about what's hitting theaters this weekend?
Well, let's see. On Wednesday, Tropic Thunder, starring Tom Cruise and some other guys. I guess, and coming not so long after that, you've got Kiefer Sutherland and Mirrors. Why?
No, as I said earlier, Lionsgate's releasing this, or...
I don't know. Are they?
Is it a Fox? It's Fox, because it was in front of the X-Files. Yeah.
Okay,
Fox.
Then I might be able to go see it.
Because are you boycotting Lionsgate now?
Okay. I might not even go see Saw 5.
Because of the Night Me Train.
Oh, thing. Don't even say that. You know. It's gonna open. You're going to be like getting like jitters. Like, it's showing at 1:30. It's showing at 1:30.
They still are giving money to Disaster Movie and those folks. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Mm. What else? Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the movie Dave's been looking forward to more than any other film this summer.
You mean the movie that I'll never give Lucas another dime of my money ever again after Indiana Jones 4? Okay.
That one. And finally, limited release, Scarlett Johansson, Yvonne Bardem, and Penelope Cruz bring some serious sexy to Woody Allen's Vicky Cristina Barcelona.
Yes. Except Josh is going to be disappointed because they filmed the lesbian scene tastefully, quote unquote.
That sucks so much.
Maybe you should see because it's supposed to be a great movie. Yeah, well, imagine that.
Oh, no. That's not why I'm going to film school.
Mark, you were saying something about the Clone Wars.
Well, we saw a panel. We saw a panel for it. It was kind of a split panel with The Force Unleashed and The Clone Wars. And The Clone Wars, they showed the first act of the first show that's going to be on for the TV series. And it just looks like a dumbed down version of Star Wars.
That's saying something. I'm just, you know, putting that out there. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've just confirmed why I don't need to see it. And I appreciate that very much, sir.
Well, but The Force Unleashed, it actually kind of, that panel.
So good.
The panel actually made me want to play the game before I'm kind of with what Josh is doing, boycotting Lionsgate. I'm kind of boycotting Lucas.
But that looks doing. So good.
Yeah,
the Force Unleashed, such a good game.
The panel did make it look pretty good.
Cool.
So I'm guessing Lucas was not at Comic-Con then, right?
No, or he was and he just got pummeled.
Well, he's not a safe man at Comic-Con, that's for sure.
No. Yeah. All right, let's talk about, there's three releases for DVD.
Just
that
a couple
want to talk
of DVD
about
releases. Yeah, the DVD release is Season 1 of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles, which I'm told that at Comic-Con they released some spoilers as to the next season, and apparently it got a standing O, some really mind-blowing spoilers for the next season. Well, you never know. People at Comic-Con approved. Can't wait to see this. The Jonas Brothers in Camp Rock. Yes.
Oh, you wrote that down? I need to quit saying, we're not talking about this, we're not talking about this, because you're always going to write one of those down.
Hey, it's always fun. Shake it up. Amy Adams, gorgeous Amy Adams, and Frances McDormand, and Miss Pettigrew lives for a day. That's exactly how long he lived in theaters. Keanu Reeves in The Street Kings, which I've heard a lot of different things about. And one of my guilty pleasures of the year, not a good movie, but you know what? I wasn't expecting a good movie from Prom Night, available in R and unrated editions.
And the unrated edition will probably be even shorter.
You know, probably.
Like Date Movie was. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, that brought about a whole bunch of reactions. So I guess we can move into some reader mail here really quick.
Please, yeah.
I'm going to let it go for a couple seconds. Okay. Hit it, sir.
And wanted to just make mention that Isaac Hayes just died. I guess while we were talking and checking things out, that the Chef Shelf Park has died at 65.
Wow, that's
That's weird. That's so weird.
This is a bad year.
Bad weekend.
It really is.
This guy has had an amazing career. I mean, he's Oscar nominated for the theme from Shaft, which, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the 10 greatest movie themes of all time.
Absolutely.
Been in everything from I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker, one of my favorite movies.
And, oh, love that movie.
Yeah, he's great in that. And he's in the aforementioned, I know our site has mentioned, Return to Sleepaway Camp. He's in that. He plays a chef.
That's right,
in
he
that.
Is.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that going to be his last movie?
Sort of, since it was made, 5 years ago?
Well, there's that, too.
So,
but yeah. Wow.
But yeah, arguably best known for the chef on South Park. And without question, he brought so much that you mentioned Chocolate Salty Balls, one of the greatest songs in all of the English language.
So,
God bless him, man. That sucks.
Yeah, wow. Okay, well, I guess we need to go to mail, but that just kind of wow. That hits you like a
brick. Yeah, that's
like
a shocker.
Brick.
That's a real shame.
Absolutely. Okay, we got 3 emails and a voicemail. So we'll start with the emails. We'll start off with our good friend Brad Rusk over at Horror Fest up in Denver every April. I'm going at the same time as Starfest. Hello, dog. And he says, 5 movies he'd take with him on an island. He kind of cheated, but he got around it because I never said no box sets. So he said the Ultimate Superman Collection, which is 14 DVDs. the Lord of the Rings Extended Trilogy. So that's 12 hours long. Then you got the Die Hard Collection, which does answer the comedy somewhat.
True.
The Alien Quadrilogy, which, Alien Resurrection kind of gives you some comedy, depending on how you look at it. And then finally he went with
Jean-Pierre
the...
Wait, does that also come with Alien versus Predator?
No.
Ooh.
No, just the Quadrilogy. Just the movies that kind of matter. And then the Ultimate Blade Runner DVD set in the briefcase. So that's he's set for life, just based off of that. Did you think of any at all, Josh?
I did just think of some.
Okay, I'll let you go next.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Okay.
Gremlins. Death Proof. Goodfellas. And probably Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Cool. Well, the thing is, you have to pick movies that
I can
watch.
Yeah,
over
I can
and
watch
over
those
over
anytime.
Over.
So
yeah, I've come up with a few. I've come up with Sullivan's Travels, just because, you know, favorite movie of all time, whatever. The Thing, just because that's a horror movie I can watch anytime. And my dog's getting restless. Ocean's 11 and Ocean's 13, because either of those I can watch at any point, any given time at all whatsoever. And I'm thinking probably The Thin Man. So, yeah.
Very good.
Cool. Anyone else got any suggestions at all?
I can only think of three.
That's good enough.
Seriously. Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Good pick.
I love Garden State and Amelie.
Yeah, ooh.
Those would be there.
If you say Lost Boys, the try.
Probably have to say Knocked Up, City of Lost Children, Garden State, of course. Those are about my three.
Okay.
If I think of my other two, I'll come in.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Have you got any you could think of off the top of your head, Barry?
Well, you know, you said it. If I'm going to be stuck on a deserted island, I'd want to laugh. I wouldn't want to be like watching like Castaway or Schindler's List, you know, to remind me how sad my existence is. No, I'd bring
so Family Robinson.
Exactly. Yeah, it sucks. You're stuck on an island. You know, inevitably, there's going to be like 5,000 more I wish I had with me. So I'm just going to say Police Academy Parts 1 through 5. So
wow,
because yeah,
you want to hurt yourself some,
because I want to laugh and, you know, remind myself that there's an outside world, and plus having to watch those five on a loop would give me enough motivation to get the heck off the island. So.
There is that.
Yeah.
There
wait, is wait, that. Wait. Camp Rock just came out on DVD, right?
Camp Rock.
That's,
yeah.
That's my fourth.
Number four.
Sick little monkey.
It's a joke.
Chris, you got me.
You know what? I think I made four. I'm trying to think. I think just off the top of my head, I know I want to have Spinal Tap with me.
Nice.
I definitely would want at least, I think, either the original X-Men or Spider-Man. You know, one or the other.
Or X-Men definitely. 3 or Spider-Man 3, right?
Oh, my God. What an awful movie
Sorry.
That was.
Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. I still want my money back on that. What was I going to say? Oh, The Princess Bride, definitely. I know.
Ooh.
We brought up someone from there, and I thought, yeah, I love that movie.
Very good pick.
Two Rob Reiner movies.
And
Canadian bacon. Just kidding.
Whoa.
The Fountain, number four. I got to have at least one Aronofsky with me, and that would be the one I choose. And I think maybe season four of The Kids in the Hall. Me.
Nice.
It's a little cheating, but you know.
That's okay. Fair enough.
Very eclectic. Nice.
Yes. All right, well, we'll move on to our next email. This comes from Big Orange Michael over at the GRD forums. It says, gentlemen, yes, I'm a few weeks behind on my screen geeks listening. Based on Dave's enthusiastic recommendation for Spaced, I went out and purchased the box set. Unfortunately, due to the real world intruding on my time, I've not had a moment to break it out and watch it yet. But I'm looking forward to it. Big fan of British shows, and I can't believe I've taken this long to discover the joy of Spaced. On a recent show, you guys were talking about a film with Claudette Colbert. Hearing that, I wondered if you guys had seen the original To Be or Not to Be with she and Jack Benny. If not, I implore you to get it on Netflix or find it at the local library immediately, even if you have to go with the VHS version. DVD isn't really cleaned up, and there are no extras, which is a crime considering how great this movie is. As a huge fan of Jack Benny, I really like the movie and wish the studios that had his films would invest a bit to clean them up and drop them on DVD for us. If you listen to his shows, he will refer to the movies, and while I saw a few on VHS and Turner Classic Movies in the day, they seem to have been out of circulation for far too long now. And don't get me started on movies like the great Gildersleeve. I'm guessing there's only limited appeal for them, which restricts them from being on DVD, but there are fans out there who want them. Charlie Brown sigh. Anyway, just wanted to send you some feedback, and Dave, welcome to the world of Doctor Who, which I'm still watching. It's glorious. If you want some classic series recommendations, let me know, Michael. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, Michael. Yep.
Very much.
I've not seen To Be or Not to Be the original, to be honest, so yeah, I should check that out.
Yes, yes. And the last one came from Billy Flynn, and I kind of feel bad asking for mail because we kind of got an influx of it, and
hey, that's what it takes. Hey.
Yeah, well, I feel kind of guilty. So it says, this is from Billy Flynn over at GRD, Geek Radio Daily. I almost did not write this message. I've been meaning to send an email for the past three shows, and every time I finish an epi, lo and behold, there's a new one up. So then I listen to that one to be up to date before I write. Imagine my surprise today at the gym when I'm listening to Josh's rant and thinking, cool, I got the new show early and can leave a message for you guys. Because Josh, yeah, that is a stupid thing Lionsgate is doing, and it sounds like there's some impropriety there. And then in the midst of my tricep workout, you have to go and call us out. I would like it noted for the record that I do not beg for mail. We know that, sir. Now, I feel a little weird because this message after that show seems like I'm responding to that. Truth be told, I'm waiting to tell you and the world... Okay. Truth be told, I am still waiting to tell you and the world that I absolutely adore Josie and the Pussycats and think it is one of the smartest films no one saw. Plus, it has Rosario Dawson. Rosario Dawson. That's from Billy. So just to make you guys happy, I shall make sure to get an email off as soon as I hear an epi, no matter if a new one exists or not. So quick recap, Dark Knight is 9.5 pants, and Heath Ledger is the greatest Joker we have ever seen. The raspy voice did not bug me that much, and I think everyone who likes crime films will groove on it. Wow, your Mummy 3 talk sounds every bit like every Indiana Jones movie ever, like everyone. And let's see here now. Hellraiser is a damn fine flick, but Hellbound is better, and Barry should totally groove on them because they're more than just gore for gore's sake.
Thank you. Thank you.
American Carol sounds like it could be incredibly funny, and I do hope it is. So until Barry gets Josh to wear traveling pants, make mine Screen Geeks.
I'll see Hellbound, Hellraiser 2 if you see Sisterhood 2, Josh.
Okay.
Wow. I will watch Hellbound, Hellraiser 2, but you gotta go see Sisterhood. In fact, you could go see that with me. Sisterhood 2.
Oh, God. Can we hold hands and skip while we go to the theater?
That's what does it for you, yeah.
Sure. Do I need to wear my training bra?
Wow. Okay. And on that pleasant thought, we got one more voicemail and then we'll get out of here. So let's go ahead and play that. And here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Chris from over at the Jesus Geeks podcast. And I just finished listening to your latest show and felt sorry for the fact that you had no email, no voicemail, no anything. So I thought
this is why I'm not asking.
I'll give you a nice shout out. Love the episode. Love your work. Keep it up, guys. I listen to it all the time. So don't get discouraged because, you know, I've been there too. But here's a question for you. With the increase in home theater and everybody questioning the lifespan of the theater experience, I'm wondering, how much would you pay for a DVD or HD or Blu-ray of a new release movie, top of the line, so you could be able to watch it in your home when it first comes out? I'm like saying, you had the opportunity to buy Dark Knight when it comes out, but it had to be a higher price. But you get to keep it and you get to watch it in your own theater. What do you think would be a good price to charge? Or how much would you pay for a first-run movie to be able to watch in your home? So there you go. Look forward to hearing what you have to say. And keep up the good work, guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
And our thanks to Chris from over at the Jesus Geeks. Thank you. A very interesting question. With the rise of the home theater, what would you pay for The Dark Knight, say? And I think he brings up two very good questions. In standard def and in like a Blu-ray type thing.
I pay to go to a movie in the theater. So I don't know, even if Dark Knight was going to be available on DVD, I still would have paid to go see it in theater before I bought it.
I kind of ran into this a few years ago with Bubble, Steven Soderbergh's Bubble, because we got it in Denver, and then of course it was available online, and Best Buy, our local Best Buy, had it on sale for $29.95, and I said, no, I'm not. As much as I was dying to see the movie, I waited a few months until I could get it from the library. And having seen the movie, and I love the movie, I still wouldn't pay $29.95 for the film. Gosh, for The Dark Knight?
Or for whatever. For whatever's coming out.
I mean, if Tropic Thunder came out, you know, and you had the option to buy it.
I would say a little over ticket price, but lower than $10.
Really?
Yeah, because I just...
Well, here's why I say that. Ticket price for us is like $8 at night, but... I mean, like, what do you pay for movies out there, Chris?
$9.75 for my wife and I to go see Pineapple Express each on Friday night. So it was almost like a $20 movie.
I'd almost say for a bare bones movie, you could get away with asking $15. And I so wish I had that drop from GRD about, you know, $15, little man. But I think you could get away with that for standard def. You could probably even get away with $20 or $25 for a high def version, and it'd be bare bones. I think the market would bear it, but I don't know. There's something to be said about going to see a movie in the theater.
It's something to do. Even in a small town where they got nothing but a pool hall, a Sonic, and a bank, you've got a movie theater, and that's the thing to do. It's a social event, whether you're taking out a girl or a guy, or you just want to do something. The movie theaters are always something, and it's a shared experience. It's part of the American movie-going experience. Honestly, I could see it being hit, as it has been, of course, by Netflix and whatnot, but I can't see it ever going away just because of that, because it is a social experience, and it's, despite the internet world being a means to, you know, sit in front of our TVs and screens indefinitely, you know, watching YouTube videos, I can't see that forever completely going away.
Absolutely. There's something to be said for the community aspect.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I heard something actually. It was on the, if you ever listen to NPR, there's a show called Studio 360, and they had a guy on talking about the experience of actually going to a theater and what theaters are trying to do in terms of like 3D. I know Zemeckis, a whole bunch of other people are still working on 3D movies, but the problem is, you know, are these theaters really going to invest the technology? And certainly out here in Arizona, if you wanted to see Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D, they had signs, like literally, you know, printed out from like Word, saying, you know, our theater is not equipped with 3D. If you want to go see it, you're going to have to go to the ghetto because they're not anywhere around where you are right now. I mean, literally, I mean, those were the signs that were put up. So it's trying to find a way of what is going to entice people to come in and sit down. And you know, a day and date kind of DVD release, I would see that kind of working with a mainstream thing like a Batman, but I think it might actually do better for out of the way kind of flicks that really need some support. So let's say if I wanted to go see Hamlet 2 at the end of August, you know, maybe someone in Podunk America is not going to be able to see it because it's going to be such a limited release. You know, that'd be a good way to get jump started when the hype is still hot. When people are talking about it, if it's a good independent movie and say, you got to check it out, you got to check it out. By the time the DVD comes out, there's, you know, there's no one's talking about it anymore. So what better way to capitalize on good media support than with movies that would play to that end? So I don't know. I think it's an interesting proposition. I know I want to see Iron Man again, like right now. You know, I want to watch it. I know it's coming out pretty soon at the end of September, but it's a good question to ask. I think it might get there, but I don't think it will. I think theaters have too much to lose by doing something like that.
Yeah, and when I say the $15, you'd probably have to sell it like at the theater. That's right. Not only what they'd even stand for it.
Yeah, and I appreciate, Chris, that you brought up the 3D issue. I bumped into that on Maui. My buddy Greg from the Ed and Greg Show, he was mentioning that on Maui, same thing with Journey to the Center of the Earth. They only have 2D theaters showing because the island is currently not set up for 3D. And there's a lot of places that are unfortunately ill-equipped for that kind of thing, which is ridiculous because, A, it does sell, even though the tickets are slightly more expensive. It is a moneymaker, and we know that because Journey to the Center of the Earth is currently on its way to making like $80 or $100 million. It's doing really well, especially in the 3D format. And next year, there are so many movies coming out with the 3D format, including the horror movie, My Favorite Valentine, which is a remake.
Is it a remake of My Bloody Valentine?
My Bloody Valentine. Thank you. My Bloody Valentine is going to be remade. Final Destination 4, the animated film with Reese Witherspoon doing the voice, Monsters vs. Aliens. And then Christmas time, you've got Robert Zemeckis as A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey playing the majority of the characters. That's another CGI Beowulf-esque kind of movie that's also in 3D. So I hope these theaters get with it because, on one hand, it is a very expensive commodity, but on the other hand, they're going to make the money back because there's so many of these attractions coming in. Journey to the Center of the Earth is just the beginning for this format.
Right. And Toy Story 2 Parts 1 and 2 are right now being modified to come back as 3D, I believe, next year in November.
That's right. And I heard the same thing for the Star Wars movies. Apparently, George
Lucas derailed.
Is going to...
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's not happening?
Lucas.
Yeah.
If Lucas could do somehow, you know, reinterpret it with Brazilian dance, you know, do something with that franchise to make more money, the guy will always do it.
As long as there's Peruvian ninjas. Sorry.
He is not ever going to turn away. I mean, I've heard countless ways of him saying that he's going to be turning back to his artistic roots, but... You know, as long as there's more money to be made from that well, he'll continue to pump it.
Yeah, it's a shame because he really can direct. He's a great director, and it's a shame that he hasn't had that opportunity.
Yeah, he is.
You know,
I
wish he would go beyond American Graffiti, THX. I wish he would go beyond Star Wars because there's more to the guy than that. At least I think there is.
Fair enough. Cool. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this bad boy up. If you'd like to shoot us an email, feel free to podcast Barry, Dave, Nate, Josh, Ethan. At screengeeks.com, we're going to be putting up Nate's Rocker interview, a review here in the next day or so. And Chris from Quick Stop Entertainment, what do you got coming up, sir?
I got a whole bunch of interviews from the Comic-Con of Ought8, and those should be rolling out in the weeks ahead. I know right now I have an interview coming up with a very good independent movie, a guy who did a movie called Baghead.
My brother's seen that. He said it was terrific.
Terrific, terrific. And I got one of the stars coming up for interviews for that. So
great.
Head on over to Quick Stop Entertainment for some. It'll be the fall of interviews, basically.
Awesome.
Yes, and you read the Trailer Park column over there. And
absolutely.
Everyone read it. It's good stuff. It's well worth checking out. And I totally forgot, if you want to leave us a voicemail, give us a call at 719-387-1804. And I guess this will wrap it up. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us as
Thank
well.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us on. I appreciate it, man.
Yes. And until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Take it easy.